former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Will the Packers get redemption over the team that eliminated them from the playoffs last year, or will the Lions prove they are who the hype train says they are? We got a fun one tonight on Thursday Night Football, and a fun one right here as we welcome you into the Lombardi line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Also on the program today, professional handicapper Mike Somich, as well as VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I'm broadcasting from, Mike Palm, at the end of Hour 2. But Michael, we got a lot of game previews and headlines to touch on today, but I like this game that's kicking us off tonight. Packers and Lions. Who's going to be the early king of the North in the NFC?
I mean, you got to love Lambeau Field. You got to love fall. You got to love the whole ambiance of it. You have to experience it. I mean, nothing says football like Lambeau Field, this fall, the weather. I'm excited for it. I really am. I think it'll be a great game. You know, we got to bust some kneecaps and see how we're doing.
Absolutely. And Lambeau for sure is, that's on my bucket list. I hope to get out there at some point in my lifetime. But where things sit right now, an uncharacteristic underdog at Lambeau in this series. And we know that for years and years with Brett Favre and with Aaron Rodgers, that is a very rare occurrence. But a new look team this year with Jordan Love leading the way. They're getting 2 points at home. The total 45. We've seen 76% of the handle and bets on that road Lions team. Some money also coming in on the under. But let's take a look at some of these injuries first off, Michael, and just see how you feel this might impact things. We've seen some news. The Packers are going to get some reinforcements at the skill positions. Aaron Jones and Christian Watson both expected to go. On the offensive line, no Bakhtiari once again, no Elgin Jenkins. Zach Tom is questionable up front as well. And then defensively, it looks like Jair Alexander, they're going to take that one all the way up to game time. But those are the most notable injuries to update on the Packers side of things.
You know, let's go back last year. They played two games. The Packers defense held this Lion team to 34 points total in those two games. They lost both games, more because their offense turned the ball over, especially the one in Detroit. So they've played this team well. And, you know, when you look at Detroit, Montgomery may play tonight. There's talk that he's going to play the running back. Gibbs, surprisingly, for as little as he played, Gibbs leads all NFL rushers with 11 broken tackles. The second guy, Zach Moss, who really just played last week with 10. So we're seeing a team, like, if they get Montgomery and they get Gibbs, and the one thing we do know about the Packers, their inability to play great run defense. I mean, this ball will not be kicked off. It would have kicks off at 8:15. At 8:23, I'll get a text from Big Daddy telling me how bad the Packer defense is. Immediately, that goes without saying. It just happens automatically. It's like it's like how you have tweets that go out where you don't have to worry about it. That's going to come. So I think it's a great
just
game.
Just a scheduled text to you, Michael. Just the scheduled text. Oh, love it.
It's perfect. But I think it'll be a great game because I think Love has proven that he's not perfect. But he makes a lot of plays. They're fourth in the league in points per play. And with getting Watson back to go with Dobbs and these young players they have in the skill position, I think they're going to challenge Detroit's secondary.
Yeah, and obviously Aaron Jones, like such a key piece to what they do offensively. A lot of it really runs through him. But Christian Watson, I mean, you look at some of the wide receivers that Jordan Love's had to throw the ball out to the last couple weeks since the season started, a lot of no names in that group. And so to have Christian Watson, who we know is so dynamic at the back end of last year, back in the fold, I think will be huge for them. You mentioned David Montgomery on the Lions side. From all reports I've seen, he will play tonight. I know that there was the belief, like Tom Pelissero reported earlier today, that he wouldn't. He had to walk that back with the information. He believes that he will. Left tackle Taylor Decker, who missed last two games with an ankle, he's officially questionable. Oh man, tough word for me today. He is officially questionable, but is expected to play as well. Important for that front, especially considering Matt Nelson, Jonah Jackson, and Vitae are all questionable as well. Emmanuel Mosley on the defensive end expected not to be available tonight. But go ahead.
Yeah, he hasn't played all year.
Yeah,
he's been out all year.
I think they were hopeful that they would get him back, but still it looks like a no in that spot. But yeah. Let's go back to Jordan Love, though, and potentially what he could do in this spot tonight with the weapons that he has back. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception so far. Mounted the comeback, obviously, last week to win their season, their home opener against the Saints last week. But the completion percentage, I know, has stuck out to a lot of people, Michael. 53.1% completion percentage, second to last in the NFL right now.
Yeah, but look, where are they on third down? They're fifth in the league on third down, right? Where are they in the red zone? They're second in the league in the red zone. And so there are some bad plays. There's no question about it, right? There are some bad plays, but when you break the team down, I think they're fourth in the league in points per play. I mean, they've done a good job of moving the football. You know, he throws for 245 last week, and I only had the first turn. The team had the first turnover of the year. So I think, look, would you rather have them be 70% completion and throw for 5 yards a pass? Or would you rather actually have them get the ball down the field, which is what he's been able to do? So, you know, the key is going to be the Packers have to play run defense against the Lions. The Lions want to run the football and play action pass. Last week, they held the Saints to 77 yards rushing. The week before, they're in control of that game against the Falcons, even though the Falcons had 211 yards rushing. But the Falcons would score 14 points in the fourth to beat them. So I think it'll be a great game. I really do. But the Packers have to play better run defense. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the key. They have not played good run defense all season, and they weren't good run defense last year. But they have a good handle on Ben Johnson and his offense. You held them to 34 points last year. And one thing we know about Detroit so far this year, Stormy, they're 12th in the league in points per play. Like, they have not been – they're 15 in EPA offensively. They have not been as good as they were last year. They're 21st in third downs. They're not quite to the same level they were last year. Could it come along? Yeah, I think it could. But right now, after 3 weeks, it hasn't.
When you talk about that Lions run game, we talk about Montgomery being back available tonight, but still coming off of that thigh bruise, not sure fully the effectiveness of him. What could that open up for Jahmyr Gibbs? Because I know his utilization was a little bit not fully to his caliber the first couple of weeks. They weren't giving him all of the touches. Last week with Montgomery unavailable, he had, 80 yards, 17 carries. Now with the two of them back out there, how do you think that'll impact Gibbs' production specifically?
Well, I think it all depends on where Montgomery is, if he's 100%. I mean, they got to get Gibbs the ball. So Gibbs has got 31 attempts on the season for 139 yards. Montgomery's got 37 for a 141. You know, so it just tells you right there that the guy's more explosive. Gibbs has 6 first downs in those 31 attempts, whereas Montgomery's got 7 in his 37. So they've got to get him more involved. But I think really where they want to get him more involved is in the passing game. He's had 13 targets for 10 yards. He's averaged 5.9 a catch. That number needs to go up to 7 or 8 to really be effective. And I think that's what they want to do. They want to use Montgomery in the Williams role as the banger, and they want to use Gibbs in the Kamara role as the shifty receiver type guy, which will really enhance their offense. So, look, I think there's no doubt we're going to see a lot of them tonight. And the key is going to be, can they protect, right? Yep. They're going to have to protect Goff, because we know this about Goff. If you get to him early, you got a better chance. But if he's back there in a play-action pass game, he is very comfortable throwing the football.
Yeah, and he's been good to start the season. Top 6 passing yards in the NFL right now. And with the way that the Lions had success the back end of this last season bleeding into this year, he's 10-3 his last 13 starts with 22 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. It's been a really good stretch dating back to the end of last season for Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday, Michael, when we were on the show, we did that little "Is the Trend Your Friend" segment. And I have a couple more trends I want to throw your way.
Oh, you got more for me?
Oh, okay. Oh yes. Because I know you didn't like the 16-4 ATS as an underdog under Matt LaFleur for the Packers because of how much of that was with Aaron Rodgers. So we've got some other stuff.
Right?
Exactly. Yes. But, I mean, 3-0 ATS as an underdog to start this season. So we do have that in our back pocket there with Green Bay. But there's a lot actually that favors the Lions in this spot. The Lions have covered 10 straight division games, tied for the second longest divisional cover streak in the Super Bowl era. Wow. They're also 10-2 ATS against the Packers since 2017 and have won 3 straight outright that we talked about in the series so far. So a lot of things kind of trend toward the Lions. Is the trend your friend? If you had to have a lean or a decision on this game based on the 2-point spread right now, would you say yes or no?
I would probably say no. I like the Packers. I like the home team here. But this has got me a little worried here, especially since they're 10-2 against the spread against the Packers since 17, which includes Rodgers and also includes some bad Detroit teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that has me a little worried. You know, I never give out this team as a play, but I think to me that would be one of those where, you know, I mean, I just think the Packers know how to play them.
Yeah.
And when they held them to 34 points, last year they got no help from their offense. And it's a short week, you know. But look, I've seen the Lions go up there with Matthew Stafford. I mean, a lot of those numbers in the 17 are with Matthew Stafford. Yeah. He's been pretty good up there.
Yeah, it got me thinking, especially after we were talking with Harry Gagnon on the program yesterday, and he liked the Lions, and I was kind of playing devil's advocate with the Packers. I've gone back and forth on it over the last 24 hours. I haven't placed a bet on this game yet for the side. I might wait closer to game time, see where things end, and see if I want to get in on a live betting perspective. But just knowing the weapons that Jordan Love is going to have at his disposal that he largely hasn't, especially Christian Watson, and maybe targeting him on some of those deep balls, I feel like the Packers are the side I want to go, especially if this number grows. But it's a tough game. And this is a really, really important game in the division, Michael, because these are looking like the two top dogs.
Yeah, no question. And you know, and you got to hold home field advantage in this. You really have to. You have to be able to do that. And I think that's going to be the critical part of this. And I think, you know, this is where it really is going to come down to. Can they play good enough on defense? I mean, can they stop the run? That's going to be the key.
Yes, it will, and something we'll certainly keep an eye on. We'll look at maybe some prop angles a little bit later on the show as well. But for now, as we turn the page, there's lots of headlines around the National Football League. Is it news or noise? We'll have Michael break it all down when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up now and save 40% off our football season special when you use the promo code Lombardi. Get access to everything we do this football season, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Remember, you got to use that promo code Lombardi. That'll save you 40% when you sign up on our football season special. You can do so today at vsin.com/subscribe.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Michael, lots of headlines and snippets from press conferences, and we need your help to sift through it all.
Yeah.
We're going to start in Chicago because perhaps no team has had a rougher start to the 2023 season than the Bears, maybe with the exception of the Broncos this past week. But I think we can all agree the spread this week is very indicative of how things have looked so far for the Chicago Bears. Head coach Matt Eberflus still believes that his team is ready to turn the corner. Quote, I think we're real close. I really do. I know a lot of people say it's far away. I don't believe that. I think we're close, and I've seen it before. News or noise, Michael?
Well, I think he has to say that. It's not news. I think it's noise because he has to say it. What's he going to say? You know, he's trying to pump up his team. You know, he's the 31st ranked defense in terms of points allowed. He's 29th in yards allowed. He's 27th on offense. He's 29th on defense, on yards offensively. I mean, what can he hang his hat on, right? Like, he's got to try to. Here's his problem, Stormy. Once something goes wrong, how do they react? If it's going good, they'll build some momentum. But once it goes bad, then all of a sudden, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Here it goes. Same old stuff again. And it's only week four.
Yep.
So I think it's noise, but he has to say it.
I keep going back to all of our conversation this offseason, especially because earlier this morning, Michael, I was asked if the Bears should move on next year from Justin Fields and try to get Caleb Williams in the draft. And I was like, It's so funny that this is a conversation now after 3 weeks when this is all we were talking about on the Lombardi line this offseason. Yeah. And people were trying to make the excuses for the wow plays and that he could take that Jalen Hurts lead. I blame Jalen Hurts for a lot of this, Michael, because he led people to believe that that could happen for Justin Fields, and it set him up for failure.
Well, you know, it's because people want to believe what they want to believe. It's like I do interviews here in Philadelphia, you know, and all they want me to do is tell them they're going to the Super Bowl. They just want to believe what they want to believe. And they wanted to believe that Justin Fields was – nobody wanted to look at the evidence. It's like, did you notice on Twitter yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger and Jerome Bettis were complaining about the Patriots cheating, and they went through this whole dissertation about this play, and then when they broke down the play – it was all, everything they said in that conversation was completely wrong. Was completely wrong. People believe what they want to believe. They do. In spite of the evidence and they don't want to look at it. Yep. I mean, how many times did we talk about how, you know, look at his QBR. Remember that one day I came in here and said, I watched the last games. I don't care what his QBR said. He was terrible. Mm-hmm. But people want to believe what they want to believe. You can't change their mind.
How do our big question all summer long, how do the Texans need a quarterback? They are desperate for a quarterback in this year's draft, yet the Bears don't. And now we're seeing the evidence that clearly they do, and it's not working out. Another quarterback situation in flux out there with the New York Jets. We've talked a lot about the Zach Wilson of it all. But how about this? Rapper J. Cole releasing a letter from Colin Kaepernick earlier this week that he sent one to Joe Douglas asking if New York would consider signing him to the practice squad. Kaepernick says his training schedule has remained the same for 6 years and that he is not done with football. Quote, from the letter, worst case scenario, you see what I have to offer and you're not that impressed. Best case scenario, you realize you have a real weapon at your disposal in the event you ever need to use it. News or noise, Michael?
It's noise. I mean, the window's closed on him. I mean, that's just what it is. You know, it's not because of who he is. It's because he's older, his age. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a 49er fan. I saw the last game he played at. I think it was 2016.
Yep.
It was in Los Angeles, and the 49ers had that great comeback to beat the Rams late in the game, right? That was the last time he played. I mean, you're talking about 7 years ago. Deshaun Watson hasn't played in 14 months, and he looked bad. Come on now. It's noise.
Yeah, being in shape and being in football-ready shape are two completely different things. He's 35 years old, hasn't played a football game since 2016. And you see a lot of comments from, like, famous people. I hope he gets a chance. And, I mean, he did have a workout with the Raiders, last year or a year and a half ago or so now? And that didn't end up working out because they wanted to see what they had with the talent already in that room. And so I think I agree with you. The window is closed. It's just noise. I feel like he still continues to claim the political bias side of it. But at this point, we've just moved so far on that it's not a thing anymore. Let's move forward. Ezekiel Elliott and the New England Patriots getting set to face his former team in Dallas for the first time this weekend. And with that, Cowboys offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer told reporters ahead of the game, we know Will, meaning Will Greer, who was also previously, knows where a lot of the bones are buried. Zeke does as well. So those things you talk about and you think, okay, let's adjust this. We certainly have more than one hand signal for most of our core concepts. News or noise?
It's noise because, look, every team has players from another team, right? And so, you know, you always change your signals, especially when you're playing against a team that has maybe some of your – I mean, Brandon Cooks knows the calls for the Patriots. Nobody's mentioned that. I mean, nobody's talked about that. Stephon Gilmore knows every defensive call. He knows what field blitz is. He knows everything. He knows, so, like, why is that? And then all of a sudden it's on the other thing. It's just noise. It's what it is. It's people talking.
I feel like especially with all the turnover in the NFL, this is an occurrence every week in some capacity. Yeah, I mean,
we're getting it every day. Exactly.
Yeah. The Cowboys, by the way, a 6.5-point home favorite in this spot, taking on the Patriots Sunday afternoon. How about Sean McVay and the Rams hoping to get their injured wide receiver Cooper Kupp back for week 5, potentially? He's missed the first three games of the season with that hamstring, eligible to return from IR after this coming week's game against the Colts. But McVay said, said, quote, we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves by saying Kupp will be able to play week five, but he's ramping up his workload. News or noise, ramping up his workload.
That's, you know, I don't know what that means. What do you think that means? How do you ramp, you know, like.
I was just going to say, I think it is what it sounds like, that he's just been rehabbing and trying to get back to form as best he can. I don't really take a whole lot away from that personally.
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, everybody's ramping up their workload, exactly. Aren't they? I mean, like, so, like, I don't know if, you know, it's like, can he come back and play at the same level that he played before? And, you know, sure, they want him back, but remember, it was just a hamstring.
This with the way that unit has looked, Michael, with Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell and the success that they have had, it hasn't felt like Cooper Kupp's absence has been nearly as significant as we all believed it would be. And like I covered a lot of Puka Nacua when he was in college, and I knew he was good. I didn't know that he was going to be utilized to this extent, not even close.
Well, I think that's a great point you make there, right? A lot of the times, and I say this all the time, and I'm not diminishing the receiver. But a lot of the time, the play gets the receiver open. Is it the player or the play? Mm-hmm. And in McVay's offense, a lot of it is the play. Because he highlights the receiver with his motion, with the ability to rub and create separation. And so it doesn't surprise me that he's having this kind of day. Now, when they can't pass protect, he doesn't have that day. When they don't really, you know, they ran 13 times against Cincinnati last week. They can't do that. So for me, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it surprises me that, you know, he's got these incredible hands, which is no mm-hmm. doubt. But the one thing about the Rams, they do a good job of fitting the player into the scheme. So, yeah, I mean, Kupp's a good player. He really is. There are people out there think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. If you look at his numbers, it's not close. He's had one historical year.
Yep.
He's had one Hall of Fame year, but that doesn't make a Hall of Fame career.
Yep, and we've dug into that a few times. That one season skews, I think, a lot of the viewpoint that we have on Cooper Kupp throughout his career. The Rams, as far as this week go, it's a pick'em game in Indy against the Colts. They're a one-point favorite, depending on the books that you look at. One more, last 30 seconds, Michael. Taylor Swift apparently is going to be in attendance at the Jets game this week.
That's news. Now, that's news. You got to know. Anything that says Taylor Swift, you got to associate with news. Who are you taking? You taking the Rams or the Colts? I would say this. If you're interested in that game, make sure the Rams left tackle's playing, because you do not want to go down that road with the backup.
We saw when he went down in the third quarter how drastically different the offense looked after that. Matt Stafford took a bit of a beating that game as well. I don't have an opinion just yet on where I might go there, but good to note for anybody out there, Anthony Richardson back practicing yesterday as he looks to return from the concussion protocol. We're going to step aside, dive into some more Week 4 NFL games with professional handicapper Mike Somich coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going on between the shows here at VSiN, and we, the Lombardi Line, need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher here at Circus Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. So to sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40% when you sign up for our football season special using our promo code Lombardi. This is bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket on the line. So we need your help. Make sure this football season is your best ever, and you can help us do the same. Save 40% off our football season special today when you use that promo code Lombardi, VSIN.com/subscribe. Promo code Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line. Back here on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Time for No Way or No Doubt.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, No Way or No Doubt.
All right, Michael, the Jags are coming off a rough loss to the Texans this past week, looking to rebound in London against Atlanta. And it's the first of two games overseas for Jacksonville. Head coach Doug Peterson telling reporters this week he's really hoping the trip is hitting them at the right time. He says he thinks it'll be a good opportunity to reset, be together and be away, quote, hopefully away from distractions around Jacksonville right now. No way or no doubt the Jacksonville Jaguars will benefit from their two-game trip out of town.
I would say no doubt because, I mean, they have to play better offensively. You know, and this is a game where Jacksonville did a really good job of defending the run. Defended the run against the Atlanta Falcons. They defended the run against Houston, which, you know, they wanted to run, but they struggled defending the pass in that game. And does Atlanta have a passing game? I mean, you know, we've been saying this all year. Detroit took away Atlanta's run game. Where was Desmond Ridder? There was nothing to be had. The same thing in the Green Bay game. Green Bay game was the reason for that was because they could run the football. So I think they do get back on track, and I do think that this will help them. But there's too many things about this team that bothers you. Their offensive line right now is beat up, and that hasn't really helped them as much. And Atlanta's played better defensively than we might think. But I just think, to me, the passing game of Jacksonville has to shine. And with Atlanta not having one, it becomes a hard problem. I don't know if I would lay the points, though, because I think this is going to be a close game.
Yeah, Jacksonville, a field goal favorite in this one. And I was laughing to myself, Michael, when you said, does Atlanta have a pass game? In my head, I was like, survey says no.
No.
The Jags also looking ahead to their second week in London, a 4.5-point dog where things sit right now against the Buffalo Bills. So an even steeper test and competition next week. Let's move it forward. Speaking of Buffalo, The Colorado Buffaloes had a tough time this past week, got blasted against the Oregon Ducks in Autzen Stadium. And this week, what's their treat? They get a follow-up with the USC Trojans. They do get to be at home in Boulder this weekend, though. Breakfast in Boulder on the Fox Big Noon kickoff. No way or no doubt, Colorado should be more competitive against USC this week than they were against Oregon.
I would say no doubt. Look, Oregon's front's really good, and Colorado couldn't block them. That was a fact. I'm not one of those I told you so on Deion. I'm really happy that Deion has made football in Colorado tremendous. But there is a part of this outside the skill players that have become problematic for Colorado, and specifically their offensive line. And Shedeur Sanders has no time to throw the football. Mm-hmm. And the more you get hit, the less it becomes more challenging. I think Arizona State gave USC a game last week because I think USC was looking ahead. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think USC can move the football. They're not good enough on defense without their top player, Hunter. Without the offensive line, I think USC rolls them. And one thing about USC, they don't ever slow it down.
Yeah. No,
they're going to keep putting points on the board.
No Travis Hunter, to your point, who's their best weapon on offense and defense. When you said that Colorado's struggled to protect Shedeur Sanders, they are allowing the most sacks in the country, 5.8 sacks allowed per game right now. And USC's pressure rate is actually pretty good, top six in college football at this point. I just wonder when and where Colorado can get stops against this offense. USC, Michael, has had 500-plus total yards of offense every single game they have played to this point, and Colorado's defense has allowed 500-plus in 3 of 4. The only game that an offense didn't go over 500 yards was against Nebraska, and we know how abysmal, hot garbage that team is offensively at this point. I think USC rolls as well. I just wonder by how many. You fear the backdoor cover potentially in this spot with the Colorado team that obviously just got embarrassed on national television the way they did. They have a little bit of pride. Maybe they could come back late. I don't know. If I had to make a bet, I would lay the points with USC for sure, though. I just haven't done it where things sit right now. Let's go back to
I think everybody is... You know, everybody wants to show their skill, their level, because everybody measures Colorado. Colorado's the trendsetter. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody wants to prove how good they are against Colorado, and they can.
Yeah, the game's not played in Hollywood, Michael. It's played on grass. Fun fact. We talked about the Miami Dolphins a lot in hour one. And obviously, we know that there's a lot of hype around them coming off a 70-point performance and a 50-point win against the Denver Broncos. But is this something that is sustainable? No way or no doubt, Michael, the Dolphins will finish the season with the league's top offense.
I don't think there's a doubt about that. I mean, they're going to accumulate yards. There's no doubt that they are explosive. Now, again, we're doing this the fourth week of the season. Everybody's got to stay healthy to get that. But I would say there's no doubt about that. that they're going to gain yards. It's going to be, can their defense improve? And as the weather changes, can they still? But they don't have their schedule is really, whoever helped them with their schedule in terms of weather did them a great favor. I mean, there's no bad weather games. I mean, they're playing Buffalo in week four. Yeah. Can't get better than that.
Lucking out getting to play in Orchard Park this week versus in November.
And they played New England in week two.
Yeah.
Think about that. They played New England in week two. They don't have a bad weather game. I mean, 2 years ago when they went into Tennessee and it rained, I mean, Tua couldn't throw the ball.
And where things sit right now, their numbers averaging 550.3 total yards per game. It's 134 more than the next closest offense in the Chargers where things sit right now. So Miami off to a hot start. And by the way, they get Jaylen Waddle back officially out of concussion protocol where things sit today. Zach Wilson, Michael, no way or no doubt, will remain the Jets' starting quarterback the rest of the year.
No way. Yeah. He may not make it to this week's game.
I think he'll make it but maybe not out of the first half.
I had a little birdie tell me that they might, depending on practice, they may have to make a move before the game.
Just,
now, I don't know if that's true. That's just, it's a rumor. So, but I think there's, look, they know it. It's not complicated, right? It's not complicated. They're not good. He's not good. And as I've said on my podcast and I've said here, this will be the last he plays. If he gets benched before this game, they can't put him back in. They cannot put him back in.
We knew that Zach Wilson wasn't the answer, but I think that is pretty telling. If that were, in fact, to be the way things played out, that Trevor Siemian, who's just walking in off the street, ultimately gets the start in this game, that would be massive news. So something to keep an eye on for sure. But Zach Wilson has been a rough start, rough career, honestly, when it comes to this guy. Yeah. How about Jonathan Taylor? No way or no doubt, when he comes off the PUP list after this weekend, he will be in the Colts lineup.
I don't know way. I don't think he'll play. I think he'll still linger. I think the only time he's going to pretend he's healthy is when he gets traded. Isn't that his whole strategy? Isn't that what the grievance is about? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think whenever he feels like I'm going to have a better time of it once I get healthy. I'll find a cure wherever I go. But right now there's no cure. That's the sense I get.
And Zach Moss has been pretty dang good in his absence, to be honest,
really,
especially
good.
Those last two games. According to ESPN's Dan Graziano, the latest report, Taylor, quote, still doesn't want to play for the Colts, and the Colts still don't want to give him that contract. Last one quickly. No way or no doubt, Michael, Alvin Kamara will make an immediate impact in his return to the Saints this week against the Bucks.
Yeah, he will. I mean, look, he's a huge piece of their offense from receiving to running. He kind of stirs their drink, and he'll make a huge difference in this game. This one's hard for me. Let me ask you a question. Do you trust Baker Mayfield or do you trust Jameis Winston more? Like, this one's like, I want to take New Orleans. And as soon as I think about it, I ask myself, do I trust Jameis Winston to not turn it over? Now, I know Tampa won both games last year, but I can't do that. What do you think?
I kind of lean the +3.5 with the Bucks. I don't have a play on this game, but this past week was the first time that we saw Baker Mayfield turn the ball over. First couple games, he was solid. I hope that maybe that's more of what we're going to see this year. But these division games are always tricky, so I don't have a play yet. But I would say if you ask me who do I trust more between Baker and Jameis, I would say Baker. Unfortunately, Derek Carr dealing with the AC joint sprain. They've also signed Luton off the Panthers practice squad. Shows that maybe that injury is going to last a little bit longer than he would like. But, that's my answer. Baker, unfortunately. God, it's like who wants that battle at all? Let's be real. We got Mike Palm coming up next and Palm's Pressing 3 to close out the show.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our all-new NHL betting guide. That's got previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first-period betting strategies, our guy Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bet articles 5 days a week once the season starts officially. This guide is a must-have. We got key insights and data, whether you're an avid hockey bettor or somebody new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season with the VSiN NHL Betting Guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Some folks are already getting their preseason itch scratched with the NHL coming back, but we're all things NFL, college football here on the Lombardi Line right now. And before we get into Palm's pressing three, Mike, Let's make sure we have all the updates, things we need to know for the contest this week. Survivor obviously was just brutal last week. I was included in the carnage.
Are you out?
Yes. I had stupid Jacksonville.
Well,
so dead as a doornail.
Look, I said, look at Miami. Thank God I coached Pritch into taking Kansas City. I feel good about that because he said he was scared of upsets and he wanted to use Kansas City, but he said, what about Christmas? But I think the Eagles are the better play on Christmas hosting the Giants than Kansas City with the Raiders. The Raiders always play Kansas City tough. Everybody's talking about Sunday, Bloody Sunday, the massacre. How could it be? Michael, 73% of the survivor field is out after week three. We'd have to go all the way back to 2022 when 75% of the field was out after week three. Now, last year, we went 7 weeks after that where less than 100 were eliminated over this. So there might be a period of an air of good feeling, a period
leveling
of tranquility.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco is the obvious choice. People talking about the Eagles this week, but remember, half the field used Kansas City. They cannot use the Eagles now. They've got to save the Eagles for Christmas Day. So it'll be interesting. Those that didn't use Kansas City and got through with whatever team have that in their pocket, how they can pivot there.
I wanted to pick San Francisco this week. That's why I chose Jacksonville last week and it backfired. And Michael, you know, like we've talked about this a lot. It's hard. You like outthink yourself sometimes in a lot of these spots.
Yeah, you can't. Mike, I think this whole logic saving. I know you got to save things for Christmas Day. But, you know, you might as well come out blazing because what you see early is, you know, teams, you know, you don't make it. You don't survive. The object is to survive.
A lot of people lost the same game last year. Mm-hmm. Houston at Jacksonville, right?
Yep.
And the same people went back to that game. You know, one of my favorite writers, Rudy Kipling, he said there are only four things certain since social progress began. The dog returns to his vomit, the pig returns to her mire, and the burnt fool's bandaged finger goes wobbling back to the fire. And that came true in Survivor.
Well, I didn't lose on Jacksonville last week. I felt that the version of Jacksonville we saw against Houston at the end of the year was more like what we would see to start this season.
And you're foreshadowing to my question three. You're foreshadowing to question three.
Pardon me. So let's get to it. It's time for Palms Pressing Three.
Michael, you often speak of coaching malpractice. I thought this past weekend was one of the worst weekends we've seen when you combine college and pro in recent memory. So my first two questions are going to focus on two separate incidents. So question one, and painfully for me, let's start under the shadow of touchdown Jesus in South Bend. And by the way, I call him headlinesman Jesus. He's looking down the line for the ball breaking the plane. The new Beatitudes, by the way, are blessed are the offensive tackles. They'll be given a full second head start. Anyhow, let's go to the sequence at the end of the game, Michael. 1 yard between immortality, Ohio State at the Irish one. I thought Al Golden made a good move inserting nickel safety Thomas Harper on second down because Ohio State needs to make sure they get two plays there. I thought going to the nickel on second down was good. Predictable play. They throw the quick out to Marvin Harrison Jr. Incomplete. What I don't understand, and let's take the 10 men out of this, all right? What I don't understand, they substituted running backs, Ohio State. They brought in the bigger running back, which means Notre Dame could substitute. Mm-hmm. How they didn't know they didn't have 10 men, and not that they didn't have an extra safety. They didn't have a down lineman. But anyhow, why does Al Golden, the defensive coordinator, former Hurricanes head coach, former Temple Owl head coach, why would he stay a nickel on third and one with 3 seconds when you know the run becomes much more likely?
That's I can't answer that because somebody he's going to say he's in the box to boot. Mm-hmm. He's up in the box. He wasn't on the field, so he can see what's coming in. And, you know, that's all about feel. That's all about, okay, the game's down to one play. The game's down to one play. And they just brought and personnel tells you what the plays are. In the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Patriots, Wade Phillips defended the Patriots by the running back, not by the personnel groupings. Whatever running back was in, then he went to either nickel or dime, or he went to base or whatever he did. To me, how you have 10 on the field, I don't know. Because, you know, you want a one-for-one exchange. Okay, here we go. Here's what's going on. But the head coach has got to see this too. Remember, the head coach is a defensive coordinator too. What's his job? What's his role? Like, what's he doing on Sunday or Saturday? The Saturday game, the more you watch the Saturday game, the more frustrated you become with these guys that have two security guys standing next to them. They got state troopers coming from everywhere. And that you want to talk about, they don't know what the job is? They don't.
For as livid as I was about the final two plays of that game, as somebody who backed the Fighting Irish +3, even more mad that Sam Hartman wasn't throwing the ball in the game as a whole. Well, like, there's so much missed opportunity in the game, I feel like.
Here's why I disagree with that in a particular instance. They get the stop at the 11 with 3 minutes to go. They run for a first down. They run for a first down. They ran the ball. Notre Dame's offensive and defensive lines both played great games. Then they want to go with that silly screen pass. They get behind the sticks. Then they have to throw on third and long, and they could have bled the clock down even more with the running game in that sense. I understand they didn't try to stretch the field with Hartman, who's their best
weapon.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah. Right.
Let's now move to Minneapolis for question two. And I'm going to put aside Brandon Staley and his decision to go 4th-and-1 from his own 24. We can debate that. I'm even going to put aside the fact he calls a fullback belly against a team he couldn't run the ball all day long. I want to put that all aside. Minnesota converts 4th-and-5 from the 15 with a 7-yard pass with 40 seconds to go. And Kirk Cousins has no idea what to do at that point on 1st-and-goal with a running clock with 35 seconds. Lets 25 seconds go off the clock, calls a hurried play, and throws an interception, not even to the end zone. Here's my question to you, Michael. Who ultimately is responsible that at that point Kirk Cousins had no idea what to do? I mean, you can call a fade to the corner to get your first down playing or spike the ball. He had no idea what to do. Who is ultimately responsible? And I'll start with this. Is it Kirk Cousins? Is it Mark D'Antonio? Is it Mike Shanahan? Is it Jay Gruden? Is it Mike Zimmer? Is it Kevin O'Connell? Or as I said to begin with, is it just come back to Kirk Cousins?
Well, it's both, Cousins and O'Connell. I mean, first of all, Cousins is an experienced player. Once he got that first down, he needed to get to the line and get everybody organized. You got to take the game over. You're the leader. You got to take it over, okay? And you know the call you want. You've got your hot list in the red zone. So as soon as you get there, you got your hot list. And you got, and the other thing you've got, now he claims he couldn't hear, but, you know, you have to rely on somebody to tell you know what you should run down there. You know what they've been running. You've been down there enough. Like, it's inexcusable. Take the game over. Be a leader. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, boom, boom. You know, I know you have to wait for somebody to hold your hand. It's all on Kirk, really, at the end of the day. Although situationally, there should have been, if you can't hear, there's got to be a signal. You know, there's got to be a signal. We can't hear. There's a signal. Okay, there's one signal. Okay, run Charles Barkley. Run this play. You know, you could just call it. And everybody has signals. To me, that's inexcusable they lost that game.
Final question, Michael. It's about the AFC South. We have 3 weeks of returns, and what do we know about the AFC South? The best win in the division is Colts at Baltimore, and I'm throwing out interdivisional matchups, right? We thought this was going to be a one-team division with Jacksonville. They would tower over everybody. They were life and death with the Colts in Indianapolis in week one and have lost two consecutive games, not being impressive on the offensive side of the ball in either. Houston has shown the ability to play hard, and last week actually dominated that game in Jacksonville. And then the other team, Tennessee, is struggling, as one might have thought by their Super Bowl odds. What do you know now about the AFC South that you didn't know a month ago?
I know less because Tennessee's terrible on offense. I thought they would be a little bit better with their run game, a better offensive line. I thought Tannehill would be better. He's not. I think the Colts are further along than I thought they could be. And they may win the damn thing. They may be the best team because they have at least a defense that when they play aggressively, they're good. Jacksonville, all this talk about how good they are on offense, they have not been good on offense all year. I mean, the fourth quarter against the Colts, they look good. They can stop the run. They struggle against the pass. And Houston's going to be up and down. I mean, they're going to have their moments. This week, they'll have a hard time blocking Pittsburgh. You know, but Stroud played well. They're just not healthy in Houston. They have no linemen.
Very curious division for sure. I hate that we're up against it already. Great show today, Michael. Appreciate
Mike, great
you.
Work.
Yeah, Mike Palm, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for the book.
As always.
And congrats, Mike. You know, we don't give Mike Palm enough credit. In the Matt Humans contest, Mike Palm would be lapping these guys. He's kicking butt up there.
But I'm playing for no purse. That's the shame of it.
No
keeps. Well, you're playing for respectability. That's all, right?
I'm just a commentator, Michael.
Yeah.
Stay here on VSiN, the Sharp Money Crew. Coming up next, if you're watching on DraftKings Network, it's Pablo Torre. Thanks for watching.